The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I will say also, the one word that I always saw as Donald Trump's biggest challenge was exhaustion. Not his personal exhaustion, but the exhaustion of those who had supported him in 2016, some who still supported him in 2020, but were exhausted, especially after January the 6th, exhausted after just the constant fights, the constant insults, the constant battles. And so now it seems you have exhaustion on that side versus energy and joy, which is what energy and joy, which is what Kamala Harris and her team are projecting forward and trying to project, saying, hey, this is what we're about. And it is a bit like hope and change. But right now, it really seems to be working because Kamala Harris is now leading Donald Trump by 6 percentage points in the latest ABC News Washington Post Ipsos poll. That is a dramatic turnaround.
One could argue, to use the baseball metaphor, she's basically thrown a no-hitter since taking the top of the ticket.
Remember, some economic policies last week?
Yeah.
Can you explain how you're going to pay for those? And can you give us a sense of what other policies you want to unveil going forward?
Sure. Well, I mean, you just look at it in terms of what we are talking about, for example, around children. The return on that investment in terms of what that will do and what it will pay for will be tremendous. So that's a lot of the work. And then what we're doing in terms of the tax credits, we know that there's a great return on that investment. When we increase home ownership in America, what that means in terms of increasing the tax base, not to mention property tax base, what that does to fund schools, again, return on investment, and investing in a broad-based economy, everybody benefits, and it pays for itself.
And that's what our election is about. Our election is about understanding the importance of this beautiful country of ours in terms of what we stand for around the globe as a democracy. As a democracy. We know there's a duality to the nature of democracy. On the one hand, incredible strength, incredibly strong, and incredibly fragile.
I just heard Dorito. Huh? Ah, Dougie, there they are.
They're up there.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you want those.
Oh, wait.
Is
there
corn nuts over there, too?
Give them
too?
This hit.
Ah, yeah.
That's the big.
There you go.
Corn nuts over there.
The comedy scripts, they just write themselves, don't they? That's Kamala there yesterday. Just trying to be a normal person going into the convenience store. Not her husband gave her the Doritos, and then Tim Walz as well, a bigger bag of Doritos. So this was her coming out. She finally said a few words off the cuff, and that was pretty well a disaster. How are you going to pay for all this? And my producer's telling me, she said in terms of, I think, four times within 40 seconds. So she doesn't know. Just throw out all of these whatever talking. But here they're coming into the Democrat convention. She's got all the momentum. She's throwing a no-hitter. And the other side, it's exhausted. It's exhaustion. That's what defines Donald Trump and his campaign. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning or evening or afternoon, wherever you happen to be listening at the moment, or maybe later on demand. You can get to the live show or the posted shows after the fact at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. If you want to leave some feedback, you can do it at Rumble, or you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. So lots to get to on today's program. Didn't have as much time to organize these clips, but I think one theme that kind of emerged as I was looking at some of these clips that the team prepared is just the steady diet of propaganda. And again, this is not a theme that is never covered on this show. I mean, we talk about it all the time. The false, fake narratives. They're constantly, constantly creating those. And you heard one right there. I mean, you've got one side and the media, they're the ones running with this. The no-hitter, right? It's joy and energy. It's wonderful what she's bringing to the table. The other side, well, I mean, Donald Trump, they're exhausted. That's the line. And here, Trump, for his party, just keeps showing up to tens of thousands of people. It's pretty hilarious to watch. And also, just quite appalling and disgusting. As you see how, as Tucker was saying, we'll play an exchange for you in just a second, but just to see how easy it is for them to just read the script straight from the talking points established by the regime to just echo the same message over and over again. Listen to, this is MSNBC, I don't think it's Morning Meltdown, but listen to them talking again about the Trump campaign. This is clip six.
Is there another Trump than Trump the provocateur? I mean, he can't seem to help himself from using personal attacks and focusing on personal vendettas. Is there any point to even asking, can he change?
No, there is no other Donald Trump, but this is who he's always been. But, you know, every shtick, every non-substantive jig always comes to an end. Unfortunately for the country and real people who suffered under this Trump regime, people died, people suffered. While he held a death grip on the Republican Party. But no, there is no other Trump, and there never has been.
Trump, the provocateur, he's constantly fighting. Yeah, well, why? Why do you suppose that is? Scarborough said the same thing in the cold open. The constant fights, as he says it, the constant insults. These people have been constantly attacking Donald Trump. And the fruits are there for all to see. From the very beginning, they talked about impeaching him before he even came into office. And then they did it twice. And then came the indictments and the raids on homes even. The confiscation of devices in the case of Trump supporters. Some going off to prison. The assassination attempt. And they're talking about people being tired of Trump because he constantly fights. No, that's why they're more excited to support Trump, because he won't back down. He keeps fighting. He knows what he's going against. Wishful thinking on the part of the talking heads. Everyone's exhausted. They're just tired of the fight. That's the translation for that. We like Republicans who surrender. We like Republicans who have no backbone. So, yeah, in fact, if you're Adam Kinzinger, you get invited to speak at the DNC or the convention this week. I forget which day it is, tomorrow or Wednesday. Think of it. Kinzinger, so unpopular among Republicans, he can't even hold his seat in the House. But he gets invited to the Democrat convention. Good for him. Hopefully he doesn't cry this time, but they've got to get the weak, spineless Republicans. And there's plenty of them out there. But more and more, I mean, you're seeing Donald Trump unify more than half the country, for sure. But they're going to come up with every fake narrative, every fake poll, every fake storyline that they can. And there's going to be quite a lot of them to come out of the convention this week. I mean, you just look at the lineup of speakers, as Sam was saying earlier today. Here they're going to they're all going to talk the same talking points because they've all gotten the memo. But there's a lot of hatred and division among these speakers within the Democrat Party. So don't be fooled by there's so much joy. There's so much. We're all together. They stabbed Joe Biden in the back. They threw him under the bus. And Biden is still pretty bitter about that. And look at, since June 27th, look at the revolving or ever-changing storylines going into that. The people are tired of Trump. Okay. June 27th going in, they were covering for an aging, senile, sitting president of the United States. Fake at that, but still. And then to pivot on a dime. And then for Kamala to come out and to try to decide, okay, should we side with Joe or should we not? Or should we create distance with him and his certainly his economic policies, which are dreadfully unpopular? Or should we come out and say, you know, he's great. He's done everything perfect. She can't very well run on her own record. She's been in office. She's been right down the hallway from the Oval Office for 3.5 years. And to see the gymnast, all of the mental gymnastics that they're going through at the moment to try to show they love Biden, but they're not really with Biden. She was right there in all, like I said last week, she was right there close to all those policies. In fact, the architect, and then the other side now saying that, no, she was distancing. She really wasn't involved. She was iced out. Where is the clip from the love for Joe? This is the celebration of Joe. I think he might be speaking tonight. So listen to this. This is a montage, clip one.
Democrats have a lot of people that they need to highlight, and not enough days, perhaps.
They're keeping Joe Biden as far away from Kamala Harris as they possibly can. He'll come and go on Monday, and we'll never hear him again.
They just had a rally together in Maryland.
We'll never hear from him again after Monday. Look, she cannot run as his vice president. She cannot run on his record. She cannot run on his policies.
I just think that it's going to be like an amazing atmosphere in here when Joe, you're going to hear the thank you Joes. You're going to see him get emotional. You're going to see people like to see those individuals who were selfless in their service, which is something Donald Trump can never claim to be. And so I think tomorrow night's going to be an amazing night for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe, getting out of the way.
But it's my understanding that tonight there will be a celebration for President Biden, as you said, giving him his flowers, a true like lifting him up.
Whereas Biden events a few weeks before, I mean, Biden campaign events had been attracting 4 or 5 people. There is a massive shift on the ground. And so what he's done is, I think, take a hit for the larger interest of his nation and his party. And tonight's reception, I'll be there too, at the United Center, I think will reflect a deep gratitude towards him for doing that.
And I think what has happened is our party, unlike the Republican Party, who all coalesced around the cult of a personality, our party did some real, you know, it did a gut check and said, you know, we've got to figure out a different way. And now, tonight will be a night that we can really celebrate Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is the guy that we need to celebrate tonight. And I think tonight will be a lot of fun because there's going to be a lot of love in this arena behind me for Joe Biden and the job he's done as president of the United States.
There is going to be so much love for Joe Biden. There's going to be tears of joy when he walks into that hall.
So much love for Biden, the one that they all stabbed in the back just a few weeks ago. They turned on him. They said he couldn't handle, he was unfit for, well, maybe not for office. He was unfit to run again. And he fought against it. He protested, I'm not leaving. He held out for a few weeks, but they got rid of him. And they installed a lady who never got one vote. She didn't get one vote during the primaries. She barely got that. Well, she didn't even get that, I guess, last time around either. She didn't make it to Iowa. She dropped out. She was that unpopular. Now she's throwing a no-hitter. She's gone into convenience stores to get Doritos. So, of course, she's popular. She's just like you. Her economic plan, she went ahead with it on Friday and said, yeah, I mean, for the first time in U.S. history, we're going to have price controls like they do in Venezuela, like they do in communist states. Price controls that lead to shortages and black markets and so on. She went ahead. I mean, she didn't elaborate too much, so maybe she dialed back after the blowback Thursday and Friday last week, but still. These are communists through and through. And communist regimes survive largely because of the propaganda wing of the regime. It's so important to constantly spew lies, to tell lies to spread deceit, to cover truth. That's how they operate. Tucker had a discussion with, I guess his name's Dave Smith. I'm not familiar with him. But listen to them as they talk about these false narratives, these lies, and the importance of propaganda in the regime maintaining its grip on power. This is clip 9.
What I can never metabolize, accept, deal with is people's willingness to just say anything.
You just like move
because
the goal
it's
post,
expedient.
Yeah, yeah.
The capacity for lying among certain people just blows my mind. Yeah. You tell Joe Scarborough, you got to say this because there's some material advantage to you. He will say it no matter what it is. And all that way, it's like, how would you describe threatening a man until he agrees not to run for president again? And then installing somebody without a vote. Like, that's a coup. But what does it say? I mean, if the sitting president of the United States, purportedly the most powerful man in the world, doesn't have enough power to run again for the job he currently holds, he's not allowed to. None of it's real. The presidency's not real.
Yeah.
The president doesn't hold the power. I mean, they just showed us that. How do they expect us to accept the election results, abide by those results, pay our taxes? How do they expect us to obey when the system has been revealed as illegitimate?
Yeah, well, it's the only way would be some type of escalation of force. You know, I mean, that's the only way to do it. It's the great case for optimism is that all of this government tyranny relies on propaganda, and the propaganda is being broken at an unbelievable rate. Things that would have seemed unimaginable very recently in my adult lifetime, like not, you know, generations ago, but just years ago. And we're seeing that now. And people are waking up in a very profound way. I mean, it really is. It is all fake. And more people are aware of that.
Propaganda is the key. I mean, Joseph Goebbels, not to make everything a Nazi reference, never fired a gun in his life except into his own head in the end. Never commanded an army.
Yeah.
You know, he was the political chief of Berlin. But he was the propaganda chief, and therefore he was the pivotal person in the Nazi government. He was, because he was in charge of people's brains. And so that you cannot, and I'm not comparing anyone to the Nazis. I hate Nazi references in general, but that's just true.
Right.
Propaganda is kind of everything, actually.
Yeah, and that it's the most powerful thing to control. It's more powerful than controlling the laws or the money
or
the military.
That is absolutely right.
You control what people think. It's still very effective. Oh. You see it like when people get taken over by the propaganda. It's such a bizarre thing. I mean, you're like, it's like talking to someone and there's no soul there when they just repeat back the propaganda to you or something. It was, oh, January 6th was an insurrection. And you're like, I'm not having a conversation with you. I'm having a conversation with like what Don Lemon convinced you you're supposed to believe.
You know, I'll come to the propaganda point in just a second, but you know what else is interesting about that exchange early on in the exchange, Tucker referred to the presidency not being real. If you guys can find that, I think it's March 2021. So we're talking about over 3 years ago, just right at the start of this fake presidency, the tomorrow's news today, we had a picture of Joe Biden, and then we had President of the United States, and then we put the asterisk out next to it because it wasn't real. It was fake from the beginning, and you heard it here first. It was stolen. There you see it. The President of the United States, asterisk, is fake. It was built on fakery. It was propped up by propaganda, as you just heard there. Propaganda is the key. Tyranny relies on propaganda. That's why the press's involvement in this is so crucially important. I mean, they're the ones spewing out the lies, spewing out the propaganda about the fake president, about Donald Trump. Listen to this one on MSNBC about Trump. This is clip 7.
Donald Trump's a hero in his own mind. He always will be. But what we're seeing from these events is he's more like the aging rock star whose fans have kind of faded away. And so it's more like a reunion tour for him. It just doesn't quite have the spark it had in 2016. And the lack of enthusiasm is there as well.
No energy. lack of enthusiasm. He's an aging rock star. And then on the other side, oh, joy and energy. The crowds, which you even have to question with respect to Kamala, the crowds already are being, they're shrinking. They're shrinking. We'll see about the energy. I mean, they're preaching to the choir, of course, at a convention. We'll see how that goes for the next few days. I'm sure we'll have a few clips from it. But we'll see. We'll see where the real energy resides. It's all along. Remember that week when they said Donald Trump was losing his wealth, his financial empire? Because it was, I think it was after that fine, that crazy outlandish fine in New York. He's finished. And now, you know, they can't get rid of him. They can't take him out with an assassin's bullet. So now they're saying everyone's exhausted. They're tired of fighting. There's no energy. He's an aging rock star. And then what do you have on the other side? Well, just listen to their lies. Speaking of the fakery and the phoniness, listen to, this was Donald Trump over the weekend, I believe in Pennsylvania. Pretty a crucial state in the minds of some, although I did see a tweet this weekend saying that, you know, if Trump were to be able to get Georgia and Nevada, those Rust Belt states may not be as crucial for him as once thought. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of people are saying it's all going to come down to Pennsylvania. That's why they're both spending so much time there. We'll see what happens. But this was Trump in Pennsylvania over the weekend, clip 8.
But soon we're going to fix every single problem. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, Crooked Joe, have created. What happened to Biden? I was running against Biden. All of a sudden, I'm running against somebody else. Joe Biden hates her. This was an overthrow. Why does she go to the convention? Because it's a rigged convention, obviously. She got no votes. Sleepy Joe had 14 million votes. She got no votes. She failed. She was the first one out. She failed. She never got to Iowa. And now she's running for president. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to explain our system to our many, many enemies all around the world. They're watching this saying, this place doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. Everything Kamala Harris says in her speeches is a lie. You know, she gets up and just lies. Barack Hussein, did you ever hear of Barack Hussein Obama? Have you heard of him? There are those that think he is currently running the country. Does anybody think? I don't know. I don't know that that's true. We know it's not Biden. But just remember, these are phony, fake, disgusting people that hate our country. Remember that.
Remember that. Here again, spot on. That's Donald Trump speaking to a pretty big crowd and saying the other side, they're full of phonies and fakes. And the country's being fundamentally transformed. He was right. He is right. You know, one of our news gatherers brought this to my attention this morning, but one theme that has just been constantly emerging and reemerging from our orientation here for the college and from some of my early classes, whether it's Life and Teachings or Epistles of Paul, is the complete and total transformation that happens to a true Christian when they come out of the world and into God's family. The Bible talks about a total transformation in your thinking even. Romans 12, 1 through 3. And then there at the end of 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about the daily renewal, how that our mind needs to be renewed in Christ through the Spirit. It's a miraculous change. And it can be quite dramatic in some cases. This morning in class, I was going through the conversion of the Apostle Paul. He was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, or at least to haul them back to Jerusalem so that they could be imprisoned. He was carrying out lawfare against God's people. And you probably know some of the details of the story. It's there in Acts 9, and he's on his way. He sees this blinding light. He's struck down. He's struck blind. and then is told to go into Damascus. They had to, I mean, his assistants there had to lead him by the hand like he was a little child. You have to imagine him in all of his energy and zeal. He was walking or riding briskly into Damascus, and the people of Damascus knew he was coming. His reputation preceded him. He hated Christians. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. The book of Acts says that he gave his consent, his approval, his vote. And God struck him down, and he was humbled. And he cried out to God. He asked the right question. What would you have me to do? I mean, first Christ said, why are you fighting against me? Why are you fighting against my work? He was humbled and he asked the right question. So God led him into Damascus. And then he appeared before Ananias in vision and told Ananias, look, Paul's down the street. And you need to go and pray over him that his eyesight would return. And Ananias said, you mean that Paul, or at the time his name was Saul? Well, he's coming here to kill Christians. It was a challenge for the brethren in Damascus, and 3 years later even in Jerusalem, to even accept Paul. Because he was so violent, he was so full of rage, he was so convinced that the propaganda was true, that he was willing to carry it out. Murder, imprisonment, under false accusations of some kind. You mean that man converted to God's truth? He started to preach. After that 3-day turn, I mean, he went off to Arabia, it says in Galatians, for additional training. But as soon as he was converted to the truth, he started to preach the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. Paul humbled himself. I mean, you talk about a transformation, a good one in this case. You talk about a fundamental transformation or a revolution. I mentioned on the show Friday, you know, how that the loner Christian who's just wants to do it on his own terms and according to his own way, that they're not going to make it into the kingdom because they're not being trained right. They need to be in God's family. They need to be in God's church. They need to receive the truth of God. And they need to be making fundamental changes to their thinking, to their living. This is from The Last Hour, my father's book. I quoted this in class last week. But my father, you could receive this, by the way, if you call our operators, the 800 number, or if you go to our website, thetrumpet.com, you can see the 800 number there, the website there. You can download a PDF, or if you want a hard copy, again, just call the operators. But my father says here, if we have inappropriate thoughts or attitudes toward God's government, or toward a decision that has been made, we must know the Spirit. He's commenting on 1 John 4, and I think this is from chapter 2 of that book. But it says, when we watch television, or we go to a movie, or watch sports, we must know the Spirit. We must think as if Christ is sitting right there with us. When single people date, they must date with Christ living in them as if He were doing the dating. Is Jesus Christ really coming in the flesh through you in everything you do? It says, if so, He revolutionizes your life. That's what happened there in Acts 9 with Paul. I mean, his life was revolutionized. His life took a turn for the better, much better. Now, he would have to be on the receiving end of some of that persecution he was doling out before he was converted, but he learned to live according to the way of Christ, and that was a miraculous transformation. Now, the thing of it is, as with everything of God, Satan is always there to counterfeit the truth of God, the purpose of God, the way of God. Satan is a big believer in fundamental transformations. He is. And there's an entire false pagan system, even in the world of Christianity. Paul makes that abundantly clear in 2 Corinthians 11. This false system where it has false apostles, a false Jesus, a false gospel. And then you've got, at the end of it all, the angel of light out there saying, hey, I'm just bringing joy. I'm just a perfect angel. Satan has his disciples. Satan has his ministers. Satan has his representatives, his spokespeople. Satan has his propaganda chief. We've been talking a lot in recent years about the system that wants to fundamentally transform the United States. What is it that they're hard at work transforming? What is it that they hate about the founding of the United States? Well, they hate everything about it. And that's why they're out there preaching communism and telling you, I mean, I gave you that clip last week, which I thought was an excellent point. Concha, I think, made it. That they've destroyed education in large part because they don't want you to know the history. Communism's history. Where there have been food shortages galore. Out of control inflation. And yes, people even dying as a result of these communist regimes. Dying to the tune of tens of millions of people. As many as 100 million casualties in the 20th century alone. And yeah, there was Kamala on Friday preaching her economic agenda. And you'll see in this next clip how that she concludes with the price controls. They went forward with it. Just give the government more power and we'll solve all the problems of the world because we'll bring joy. This is clip 3.
We were facing one of the worst economic crises in modern history. And today, by virtually every measure, our economy is the strongest in the world. We have created 16 million new jobs. We've made historic investments in infrastructure, in chips manufacturing, in clean energy. Together, we will build what I call an opportunity economy. As president, I will take on the high costs that matter most to most Americans, like the cost of food. We all know that prices went up during the pandemic when the supply chains shut down and failed. But our supply chains have now improved, and prices are still too high. A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic. Ground beef is up almost 50%. Many of the big food companies are seeing their highest profits in two decades. And while many grocery chains pass along these savings, others still aren't. So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actor. And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food.
A ban on price gouging. In other words, you can't raise the price. The government's going to set it for you. Big, mighty government. How does tyranny survive? Well, it relies on propaganda, as you heard earlier. Those big, bad corporations, big business, they're raising their costs. I mean, the supply chains, they broke down during the scamdemic. And the chains are there now, but, well, the businesses have raised costs, or the prices, I should say. Blaming big, bad business because they turned a profit, because they're actually in the black. Because they can't just print checks off and know that they'll never bounce, even if there's no money. As I said last week, it's awfully rich to hear these people that think they have no limitations on their out-of-control spending to then go after a company that's just trying to make a profit so that they can pay their employees. And a lot of people will be out there, I'm sure, to believe the propaganda. They certainly have the support of the regime media. Listen to this last one that we have. It's a little bit of a longer montage, but it's basically the regime media getting behind this movement, this economic communism. Got to support it. Clip two.
You've never seen this much media coverage. Somebody in politics get nearly 5 weeks of positive media coverage. Because I will point out, remember at the start of this, Kamala Harris was the most unpopular VP in American history. And all she did in that time is make 1,800 phone calls to Dem insiders to get the nomination. And that's what changed it. So no, it was the media sort of pushing the reset. And so from our standpoint, we know the media coverage is going to be excessive, positive, saying all these great things. Although when you look at inflation, life's not that great. When you look at immigration, life's not that great. But we need to survive the media push, and I think we will.
Is that Kamala Harris has stuff to prove in the debate, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. That there is a...
And before the debate, frankly.
Well, she yeah, has I mean, not, gonna, we're going to get
she
a...
She's not engaged yet.
She has engaged.
Not a reporter. No, she's not. She has
but,
not
but,
had...
Oh, but, been on the but, for
but
three
she's
weeks.
Not engaged...
Just became our nominee.
This I mean, so when is she going to take
She's not months? Engaged
no.
in...
A week before the election?
In pressing interactions on... anything, really.
Well, no, that's not true.
And David, on this matter of economic policy, the vice president is also proposing the first ever ban on price gouging for groceries. This is something I know you took particular issue with. It polls well with swing voters, but economists say the underlying reasons why prices are higher, it's a more complicated argument.
But the price gouging is just, well, Catherine Rampell, the Washington Post columnist and NewsHour contributor, said it's impossible to exaggerate how bad this policy is. And I agree with that. And Catherine had a good line that if your opponent is calling you a communist, maybe don't lead with price controls. And so price controls just create shortages that create black markets. We've seen it happen in Venezuela. We've seen it happen in the Soviet Union. Price controls just don't work. But the real core problem is it expresses a level of economic illiteracy, which is kind of surprising in a responsible Democratic candidate. Her greedflation plan is somewhere off outside of normal economics.
Harris's agenda, her economic agenda, it's getting some mixed reviews today. You have the Washington Post editorial board, which called some ideas gimmicks, while an op-ed in The Atlantic says the proposal is economically dumb but politically smart.
And that the specifics of the economic plan, they're not going to win the economic argument against Trump because people aren't feeling it in their lives, even though the statistics are pretty good.
If she's ever got down to sitting down and having an interview or doing a press conference, when she unveils things like her economic agenda, she did Friday, you know, at some point you might think, hey, these are great ideas. Why are you not doing them now as vice president? You're in an administration. Is there anything here that you want to do that Joe Biden doesn't want to do? I have a very hard time believing Biden would say, oh, yeah, we're not doing that. That's a terrible idea.
Kamala Harris is not indestructible. She has served as an undistinguished, nearly invisible vice president. There appears no accomplishment she can point to for her most important responsibility addressing the origin of the border crisis. Second, she picked a nice guy from Minnesota in Tim Walz, but he might turn out to have as many warts as J.D. Vance. Thus far, Harris has had a free ride. She's not given any media interviews, hasn't faced voter questioning. When asked recently, she said that she would give an interview by the end of the month. She said that on August the 8th. No doubt she wants more time on the clock to prepare answers as to why she's flipped on health care, fracking, weed, and the death penalty, to name just a few. Sooner or later, she's going to be held accountable and face pressure that she has thus far largely avoided.
I think CNN's a little annoyed that... she hasn't given the press conference yet. Some kernels of truth in that montage there. Even as they say at the same time that she's throwing a no-hitter. She can do no wrong. But what you see revealed there is just how crucial the free ride is to this campaign. This is why everything has to be carefully scripted, including the convenience store run to get a bag of Doritos. As cringeworthy as that is, this is all part of the package. This shows you that she's just a normal person. Look at this article that a lot of people do fall for it. You know, it's like that exchange with the guy in Tucker. You know, well, Listen, I wanted to have a conversation with you and figure out what you think, not what Joe Scarborough is reading from the teleprompter every morning. I think I referred to this maybe a couple weeks ago. Great little article at The American Thinker. The Democrat Party is the greatest threat to America. It says the greatest threat to survival of the U.S. as founded is not offshore, but within its borders. The Democrat Party, controlled by the Obama-led Marxist faction. Wow. I mean, even President Trump, in that clip we played, alluded to the fact that Biden's not running the country. Who is? It's the dear leader. The Obama-led Marxist faction, the communist wing. It says, indicative of this dominance are the machinations surrounding the 2020 and 2024 elections, which has brought this wing of the party to the final stages of achieving its long-term goal of transforming America into a one-party socialist oligarchy. It's been that goal, that's been the goal from the beginning. Fundamental transformation. Turn America into a Marxist state. Make America another Venezuela. That's what's happening. It says here, the American left has long understood that in order to transform the United States, they would have to control one of two major political parties. The left-leaning Democrat Party, thanks to the socialist sympathies of Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Roosevelt, was the obvious target. Communist infiltration. It was prophesied. That's in our booklet. He was right. It's all throughout America Under Attack. But they infiltrated the Democrat Party. And now we see how they've taken it over. Even to the point of price controls on goods, on groceries, on everything. Ultimately, that's where it leads. And like I said last week, it's one step removed from just taking over the company itself. Government controlled everything. That's communism 101. It says here, the turmoil of the 1960s allowed the Marxists to accelerate this process as they focused on brazenly infiltrating the higher education establishment. By the 1990s, they succeeded in dominating this vital societal institution and turning out legions of Marxist socialist sympathizers to permeate the media and the entertainment complex, as well as their ultimate target, the Democrat Party. I mean, they've got control of the media, Hollywood, the educational system, the Democrat Party. And Donald Trump represents a threat to all of that. He's exposing the lies. He's exposing the propaganda. They're all fake, as he said over the weekend. They're all phonies, and they hate America. It says here, in 1994, just 25% of Democrats self-identified as liberal or very liberal, i.e. Marxist socialist sympathizers. The years between 2008 and 2018 saw an explosion in those identifying as liberal or very liberal. Those are the Obama years. Look at the fundamental transformation that we've seen in the thinking of so many Americans. We know God, of course, is going to intervene where necessary to prevent this takeover of the United States from within. And by the way, as you read through this American Thinker article, here again, whether it's the Trumpet magazine, He Was Right, America Under Attack, I mean, these are things we've been saying for decades. Herbert Armstrong was talking about this in the 1940s and 50s. That's pretty amazing. How could he know where this was headed? Because God was giving him insight. It says here, this process began in 2008 when the American Marxists found their ideal stealth candidate, Barack Obama. Not only was he beneath the facade of glibness, conviviality, and moderation, a fellow Marxist socialist, but more importantly, Obama was able to exploit the decades of inculcated racial guilt among the populace. I mean, it was just a perfect storm, all of it orchestrated by the devil, who loves transformations. transformations in the opposite direction. I mean, the communist state or a communist regime is anti-God, anti-family, anti-Bible. Satan, as I say, he's always got his counterfeit, right? He's always looking to go as far in the opposite direction as the way of Christ. It says, upon installation of the most radical administration in the history of the country, the Marxist-Socialist wing of the party initiated the final stage of their grand strategy to take over the Democrat Party. Well, actually, it's to take over the entire country. That's what they want. And we see now they're kicking and screaming because they don't want to lose their grip on power. They can't even imagine a scenario where Donald Trump would ever be president again. That's why they say he must be eliminated. He cannot become president. Nancy Pelosi said that. A congressman said the other thing. He has to be eliminated. Pelosi called for uprisings. Maxine Waters, get in their face, challenge them, fight them. That's how far they're willing to go. And we've made that point on this show over and again. If they're willing to assassinate a former president in broad daylight, you think they'd be okay with a civil war as long as it brought them back to power? Or if it was something they thought would bring them back to power? These people are exactly how Donald Trump described them. They're phony, they're sick, they're deranged, they hate their country, and they'll do anything to destroy the opposition. It says here, revealingly, the victors were unabashedly shameless in their triumph. Notice how, too, it says it was the most radical administration in the history of the country, the Obama regime. The most at the time, did you hear that a lot in 2008, 2009? Of course you didn't. You heard about hope and change. You heard about joy and love. And imagine that. You hear the same message today. The same one. And there are some that say Kamala Harris is even further to the left than the dear leader. I don't think that's the case at all. The dear leader is the one who's fake and phony, because the Bible tells us this. He comes in by flatteries. He comes in on hope and change. He's a fake. He's a phony. And he hates this country. He hates the founding of America. And that's why he was calling for fundamental change. A fundamental transformation. That was back in 2008. It says here, the Obama administration and their sycophants did not hesitate to aggressively infiltrate the Democrat Party. It says, additionally, and for the same overall objective, Barack Obama and his henchmen deliberately fanned the flames of race and identity politics to further divide the citizenry, using their Marxist foot soldiers, fomenting riots in a calculated Nazi-inspired tactic of further intimidating and marginalizing the old guard, hierarchy, and the party. Of the party, I should say. So again, Donald Trump came in and disrupted all their plans in 2016. They've been fighting against him ever since. And how rich for these talking heads to say, you know, people are exhausted with Trump because he's just always fighting. He's always engaged in a fight. No, that's what you've been engaged in from the escalator to today. It's obvious. It says here, I'll just skip to the end. If I've read this before, forgive me. Sometimes articles do get pushed back into newer notes as I never, ever get around to covering everything in my notes during a 55-minute bracket of this show. In any event, at the end here, it says, Biden was acceptable to the Marxist wing as they, in particular, Obama, were well aware of Biden's lifelong mendacity, venality, and avarice, and they could exploit to further their agenda. It says they further insisted a compliant Marxist true believer be chosen as vice president to protect their interests in the highly unlikely event Biden couldn't finish his term or run for re-election. So they installed both of them. And then along comes Kamala, the VP. a communist, if ever there was one, to carry on with the agenda, the transformation, fundamental transformation. Not to say all this, I'm not suggesting that the solution is, you know, supporting the MAGA movement, but at least there are patriots in that movement that love the country, that want to hang on to its founding principles. In actual fact, the real solution is to get behind Jesus Christ, who is the truth. That's the only way you'll be able to cut through all of this propaganda, all of the lies, all of the deception. It's everywhere. It goes beyond politics, as Revelation 12:9 brings out. And so how do you know the way? How are you set free from captivity and deception, the captivity of the mind? How are you set free from propaganda? There's so much of it. Well, the truth. John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where do you get to the truth? Well, you have to go to God's Word. The Word that all of our publications and magazines and books are based on. You get our Trumpet magazine and you have scriptures throughout, more so in the Royal Vision, but even with respect to watching world events. We always want to keep it in a biblical perspective. We want the light of Bible prophecy to shine forth. Jesus said, watch world events and pray always. I mean, we're able to do this in ways that they never could have in the first century. It just shows you what so many of those sermons, what period it was for. It's for us today primarily. Because we can actually look at the entirety of the world with the technologies that are made available today, with programs like this, with the footage, the clips that we can show. Watch and pray always. Jesus says, just look to me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. John 14 and verse 6. Now, as I was saying in class this morning, I mean, it does take a lot of just positive reinforcement coming from God in various ways to keep us on the straight and narrow. It is the straight and narrow way. It's not easy. Mr. Armstrong talked about it being the difficult, bumpy, rocky road. Just staying on that course. And we need God the Father, and we need Christ the Son, and we need the Bible, Jesus Christ, in print. And we need these various publications. We need God's church. We need God's apostle. We need God's ministers. If there's going to be this miraculous, fundamental transformation, if our lives are going to be revolutionized for the better. Think about the Apostle Paul those 3 days while he was blind, converting to the truth, and then heading off to Arabia for 3 years where he was taught personally by Jesus Christ. He needed training. He needed instruction. Just like the disciples did for 3.5 years with Christ, God in the flesh. They got their training. And as we keep reminding our students here at AC, you need training as well. 1 Corinthians 3. In verse 5, it says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, that's Paul writing, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. God is planting seeds, spiritually speaking. Now the devil's out there planting his seeds of deception and lies and so on. But that's why we've got to be nurtured on the Word of God and grow up into perfection, Jesus Christ. You see that in Ephesians 4. Of course, it's Matthew 5:48 as well. Become you perfect. I mean, to go from being, in the case of Paul, a murderer, a persecutor of God's true Christians, to a zealot for God and His truth. That's a revolutionary change in heart and mind and life. And that's something that can only happen by a tremendous miracle from God. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.